The shiur this evening will, as we normally do, start with something that relates to the Kriyas HaTorah from this morning, in this case, Parshas Vayigash. But the overall theme of tonight's shiur is not really Menyona de Sidra relating to the Parshas Shavuah, but rather Menyona de Yoma. Relates to something that is on the Jewish calendar, and I refer to the fact that there is a fast day, a Yom HaTaynis, coming up during this coming week. But I'm not referring to the more well-known and widely observed fast of Asar B'Teves, the Tainus of Asar B'Teves, the 10th of Teves, which lands this coming Friday, as you know. We've spoken about Asar B'Teves in the past, both the fast in general and the somewhat unusual phenomenon of having a fast day on a Friday. We talked about that in past years, so that's not the topic tonight. Nor is the topic tonight the fast of the 5th of Teves, which is tomorrow. Which is, according to one opinion in Tosefta, one of the Tanoim, which is quoted in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, is actually the day we should fast, on the 5th of Teves, not the 10th of Teves. We've spoken about that in past years, too, what that's all about. But rather, I want to speak this evening about the fast of the 9th of Teves, which lands this coming Thursday. It's a fast day which many people are not familiar with or haven't thought too much about, but as we shall see, it does appear in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's what I'd like to look at tonight. Specifically, I entitled the shiur, Why Was a Fast Scheduled for the 9th of Teves, and Why Was Its Reason Stricken from the Record? That's what we're going to see, Bez Hashem, this evening. Let me state at the outset that this evening's shiur is based upon a very fascinating essay written by Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman, Professor Sid Lyman, Shlita, who has been, I think, accurately described as an expert on all things Jewish. He's one of the people who just, one of these people who knows everything, tremendous breadth of knowledge on many, many different topics relating to Judaism. He's certainly a Talmud Chacham, and he's a prominent Jewish historian of note. He's been a professor of Jewish history at many, many prestigious universities, and he has written many, many articles and delivered many, many lectures on fascinating topics, all of which are very thoroughly researched and well developed, and, you know, extensive footnotes, and just fascinating. This particular essay on which tonight's shiur is based is entitled The Scroll of Fasts. We'll see the relevance of that title shortly. And it appeared in a publication called The Jewish Quarterly Review in October of 1983. I'm sure it's available online. If you Google Lyman, L-E-I-M-A-N, Scroll of Fasts, I'm sure you'll be able to see it. And I recommend it's a beautiful read, a wonderful read if you're interested in the subject. And so the overwhelming majority of what I'm presenting this evening is based on his Mar Makomos and his research. I added a couple things here and there myself, but for the most part, it's from him. And, you know, certainly the findings and the conclusions are those which came in Rabbi Dr. Lyman's article. So I certainly want to give credit. That's where I got this from. And I think it's a very, very fascinating subject. But we will begin with something from Parshas Vayigash. In this week's Seder, when Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers, he says in the first source, Perek Memhei of Bereishis Pasuk Yud Beis, V'nei Eneichem Roos V'nei Achi Binyamin Kifi Amedaber Alechem. You see that I'm talking to you. Right? You and you, my brothers and my full brother Binyamin, you all see that I am talking to you. What exactly does that mean? I mean, he says, I'm speaking, you see, my mouth is talking, and that's how most people talk. What was Yosef saying? So Rashi comments there in Bereishis Perek Memhei Pasuk Yud Beis in the second source. Rashi says, V'nei Eneichem Roos, you can see my covenant and so on, but oh, the second part of Rashi that I'm interested in right now is ki pi amedaber lechem b'loshon hakodesh. He spoke to him at that point in loshon hakodesh in Hebrew. In other words, basically what he was saying is, you know, I speak your language. There's no reason that the vizier of Egypt, which was the position that Yosef held at that time, would have known anything about loshon hakodesh, that you know, that language. In fact, that he's now speaking that, in that language, that was his proof, so to speak, that he is in fact their long lost brother. Rashi did not make this up. It appears in the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Parshat Tzadi Gimel Siman Yud, in Source 3, Kifi Amedaber Lechem B'Loshon HaKodesh. He was talking to them in Loshon HaKodesh. Okay, so that was the identifying factor that he was, in fact, their long-lost brother. Some of the commentaries on the Medrash Rabbah there in Bereishis Parshat Tzadi, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Parshat Tzadi Gimel, say, yeah, but it still could have been other people knew that language. Well, only that family knew the language. So that's what the Matnos Kahuna in Source 4, one of the earlier commentaries on the Medrash, writes, V'loshon HaKodesh V'nira, Sha'afal Pi Shevertz Kanan Ha'imisaprin V'loshon Ivri. Other people spoke that language in, you know, the ancient Canaanites or whatever the language was, the language that they used in Eretz Canaan, where, you know, Yaakov and the family lived. It wasn't just them who spoke that language. They weren't the only ones. But, says the Matnos Kahuna, Ha'is Sosom Berur V'tar B'fiyam Kemo B'fiyam Kodesh. That wasn't the pure form of the language. Maybe it was a different dialect or something. I will understand it wasn't the pure Lashon HaKodesh. Shenisiyachad Lashon HaKodesh, right? B'fi Am Kodesh, Elohem Nisiyachad Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh was given over specifically, the correct or the pure dialect was given over purely to the Am Kodesh, and that's how Yosef spoke to him. That's why he was able to identify himself as his brother and so on. Similarly, the Eitz Yosef and the commentary on the Medrash Rabbah writes there in Parashat Tzadik Gimel Siman Yud, 5, Lashon HaKodesh, V'zu Raya Shani Yosef. This says, Zeh HaLashon Lo Nimsar Ki'im Livnei Yisrael Midor HaFlog of Eilech. He says a little differently. That was the language after the Dor HaFlog, you know, the Migdal Bavel and all the different languages appeared. So after that, it was when that Lashon HaKodesh was given over to the family, to the Bnei Yisrael. Lo nispashet Lashon HaKodesh l'umos ha'olam, ela b'matan Torah v'elech. It was only after Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, that language, then the language, Hebrew language, spread to others. Umitchila kesha ha'melet b'nosam, zelo haya ela b'loshah b'sofa Kanan. When originally, when the brothers came to Yosef, and there was an interpreter standing between them, that was the more Kanani dialect, so to speak, of that language. She'eno Lashon HaKodesh, borrow of a Torah. It's not the pure Lashon HaKodesh. In any event, what it comes out from here is that Yosef spoke to the brothers in Lashon HaKodesh, and that was his proof that he was their long-lost brother. And the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael, had their own language, and that's fairly typical that a people have a language that identifies them, and so on. But now we get into the point that, as I said at the outside, those who join a few minutes late, I'm basing the majority of this shiur on an article written by Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman. So he points out the following. He sent us to a Gemara Avodah Zarah, but I'll give you the background first. To get the question of the shear off the ground. There is a mission of Avodah Zarah, the first mission, Daf Beis Aleph and Avodah Zarah, source number 6. It says, Lifnei Eidein Shel Ovdei Kochavim Shlosha Yomim, 3 days before a holiday observed by non-Jews, Osir Loseis Loseis Yomim, you shouldn't have Masomat and business dealings with them, and lending and borrowing and so on, and paying back debts and collecting debts. You shouldn't have business transactions with non-Jews within 3 days of the holiday. And Rashi explains here in Avodah Zarah, Beis Menachem, Officer 7, if they eventually come, give me also V'kulo mishum de ozilu modil Avodah Kacham, b'yom eido. Because, you know, if he's happy, he makes a deal, if a business transaction is complete or a loan is complete, so in a couple of days when he's going to be serving his God on this holiday, he'll bow and acknowledge his God and so on. So indirectly, a Jew will be, be contributing to this non-Jew in his prayers and in his supplications and his thanks to his God. And we're not allowed to do that. So within a few days of holiday, one shouldn't engage in business transactions. The Mishnah actually has a machlokas. What about collecting a debt? People aren't that happy to pay back a debt. But no, at the end, you are happy, right? At the end, you got it off your shoulders. In any event, that's what the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. So a little bit later, another Mishnah, a little bit later in the Masechta, source 8, Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah gives some examples of these holidays. These are the holidays we're talking about. Kalanda, Saturnia, Kartisim, different holidays. And there's some discussion exactly what these holidays are. It's not our topic this evening, but the next one is Yom Ginusya Shel Malcheim. The Yom Ginusya of their kings and their emperors, and also Yom Haleda, the day of the birth of their emperor, Yom HaMisa, the Remeir, and so on. And these are the holidays Rashi explains there in Avodah Zarah, Ches Amud Aleph, source 9. These are the holidays where Jews should avoid doing these business transactions and business deals within 3 days before the holiday. Okay, so a little bit later on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, source number 10, the Gemara asks, "Yom Ginusya Malchayim, my Yom Ginusya Shel Malchayim." What exactly is that? What's Yom Ginusya Shel Malchayim? What does that mean? Well, what's the holiday? So Gemara says, "Omar Yehuda, Yom Shemamidim Ba'Ovdechom Es Malkom." That's the day that the non-Jews introduce, they have the inauguration, the installation, whatever it's called, of their emperor, of their king. So that becomes, at least during his reign, a holiday that was observed every year, the day that this emperor assumed the reign. Okay. And then the Gemara said, one second, there's a brisa that says, "Vatanya Yom Ginusa V'Yom Shemamidim Bo'os Malchum." There's a brisa that lists Yom Ginusa as separate. Another Yom Ginusa is one thing. And another thing is Yom Shemamidim Bo'os Malchum, the day they inaugurate their king. So Yom Ginusa can't be the same thing. The brisa says two different things. Okay, so Lo Kasha Hodi Day Hodi Bre. No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing that... because one was talking about his own inauguration as the emperor, and the other is talking about the inauguration of his son. So here's where it gets interesting. Gemara says, "Umi mokmi malka ba malka." That's something that they do. The Romans always bring their son in to be the king. So v'hatan of Yosef, there's a pasuk which I quoted in source number 12 on the next page, Ovadia Perek Aleph. Ovadia is one of the Treyaser. There's only one Perek. It's the shortest of all the passages in the Vim section of the Vim. The one Perek. We lane it as the Haftorah for Parshas Vayishlach, according to our Minig, Chazon Ovadia. So it's talking there, based on the opening pasuk, is from Edom, talking about Edom. He's prophesying concerning Edom, and he says in Perek Aleph pasuk Beis, Hine katon nesaticha bagoyim bozui atomaot. You, Edom, are small among the nations and degraded or inferior as a nation. Okay? Now, what does that mean? So Rashi there in Ovadia, look at 13, we'll come back to the Gemara in a second. Rashi there in 13, Ovadia, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Hine Koton, Nosaticha, and so on. So the second part of Rashi, Rabbeinu Darshu, Koton, Shelo Hoya Lehem, Lo Ksav, Velo Loshon. They don't have their own writings, their own, perhaps even their own alphabet, and their own language. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So look back now in 10. The Gemara there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yudam Alav, quotes that pasuk. Okay, now quotes it in the context of the other thing. Okay, but what's relevant to us is this part. Look at the second line again in 10. This is Avodah Zarah, Yudam Alav. V'ataner of Yosef, hine katon esaticha bagoyim, she'ein moshivin melech ben melech. They don't install the next emperor as the son of the previous emperor. So that's the relevance to that Gemara. But also, the other part, bozei atom od, she'ein lahem lo ksav eloshem. So the Gemara goes on. So what does Yom Genusia mean? They suggest it means maybe the day of the birthday of the emperor. So they have another thing. No, it's Yom Leda is identified both in a Brisa and in that Mishnah back in source number 8 on Daf Chesam and Aleph. It's a separate thing. So again, so the Gemara works it out that there's different things. Sometimes they would inaugurate the son if they got permission from the Senate or whatever else. And that's how the Gemara works out. And again, you can look to the Gemara if you're interested in that point. But what we're interested right now is the statement, this drasha from the Pasuk of Ovadia Perek Aleph, which says, Bozi Atom Me'od. The Gemara says, Ein Lahem Lo Ksav. They don't have their own writings, their own alphabet, and their own writings, and their own language. Now, that's a very peculiar statement, because we're talking here about the Romans, okay? You take a look in Rashi, in 11, the second Rashi, okay? Rashi says, the Romayim ninu. All these holidays that are mentioned in this Mishnah were Roman holidays. So this discussion, this Gemara, is about holidays observed by the Romans. And it says in the Gemara that the Romans don't have their own language and their own writings and alphabet and so on and so forth. And the problem is that that's not true in Latin. You know, the Latin language, they have a language, they have a Latin alphabet, and they have writings and so on and so forth. So what does the Gemara mean that the Romans, with again, Rashi identifying that this discussion in this Mishnah and in the subsequent Gemara, the Mishnah is on Daf Ches, the Gemara is on Daf Yud, and Avodah Zarah, said the Romans don't have their own language, their own books, their own writings, and their own, it's not true. They have Latin. So what's going on here? So Rashi says, okay, look at the next Rashi, Ksav Veloshon, very interesting. This is the key Rashi for us. And this is again where, as I mentioned before, Dr. Lyman made his point from, as we'll see at the end how this ties in. Ksav Veloshon, Shoromaim, the writings and the language of the Romans, Me Uma Acheres Ba'a. They got it from somebody else, from another nation. Me Uma Acheres Ba'alem, Acherim Tiknu Lahem Kol Sifrayim. Others set up and establish all their books and their writings. Very strange statement, but that's what Rashi says. Okay? That's what he says that the Gemara means. The Romans don't have their own writing, their own alphabet. They got it from somebody else. Somebody else set it up for them. Okay? And that's, again, Rashi kind of alludes to it in the commentary on Ovadia as well. This is a problematical. Tosas there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Okay? Again, it's bothered, it's not true. They have Latin and so on. And Tosa says, Pirsha Kuntra, Shinilkat Lashonam Eloshnumos, they got their language from other languages. And Tosa says, Etema, it's strange. Now, Tosa has raised the question from a different point, because other languages are also based on previous languages. But that's, Tosa raised the question, but Tosa has a different interpretation altogether. Namely, Chach Pirsh Ri, Ksav Loshon Choshuv Shamalocha Mishtam Shimbo, Kain Chachma Yavonis. What the Gemara means is that their language is more like, we might call it a street language. It wasn't the language of the nobility, of the aristocrat. That's what it means. It wasn't the language which the high-ranking people spoke, right? For example, that's Rashi, the rewrites. They don't have ksav eloshon choshuv, shamelochim, right? The aristocrats, the nobility, they don't use that language. They, for example, chochma yavonis, right? Chochma yavonis, the wisdom of the Greeks, that was, a dignified language that was used by the aristocrats. And that's how Rashi says in Sota, where the term Chochma Yavonis appears, Daf Mem Tesmer Beis, the end of Sota, 15, Chochma Yavonis, 15, Loshon Chochma Shemedabrim Bo B'nei Paltin. It's a language of wisdom that the people in the palace and the aristocrats speak. V'ein Shara Makir Bo, regular people don't necessarily speak that. It's not the street language, right? It's not slang. It's a more dignified language. And that's what Tosa says is being referred to. Okay? The interesting thing, the Yaakov Emden, look at this 16, Yaakov Emden, back in Avodah Zorah, Yudam and Aleph, Hagos Yavitz, Shomlok Savalosh, Nir Be'eniki, Oso Sheishlam Ata, they have a language now, Gonov Hu Min Ayavonis. It's really stolen from Greek. It's based a lot on Greek. Stolen from Greek. Okay? Umizulosim Siuk Savalosh and Chodosh Murkov Mishalacher. It's based on other language. Again, he's explaining Rashi. Okay? So Tosis has a different interpretation. We need to understand Rashi. Because what does Rashi mean? And Yaakov Emden says it also, just explaining Rashi. What does Rashi mean? Okay, that they don't have their own language. I understand Tosa, maybe it was not considered at that time a prominent language, a language of the nobility, but there was a language. Rashi seems they didn't have their own language. They got it from somebody else. That's right, they got somebody else gave them their language. Very, very puzzling, Rashi. Okay, the same thing appears in Gittin, there's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Peyam and Aleph. Okay, source 17. The Gemara refers to Rome as a Malchus She'ena Hogenes, it's an improper government. Malchus Haromayim, the Gemara, Romayim, it's a Roman government. Amai Karle Malchus Sheno Genes. Why is that referred to as a sort of inferior type of government? Mishum the Ein Lahem Lo Ksav Loshon. Same thing like the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, they don't have their own Ksav, their own Loshon, and Rashi there too, in Gittin Peyamid Aleph, in Source 18, writes, She'ein Lahem Lo Ksav Loshon, Ela Mishal Uma Acheres, comes from somebody else. Same idea. There's a very fascinating comment that I saw in the Chassam Sofer. I didn't see Rabbi Lyman refer to this, but the Chassam Sofer there in Gittin, Peyamid Aleph, and I don't understand it fully because the dates don't exactly work, but he says an interesting thing. Some sofer and getting payment out of Dalen lo ksav loshon, okay? And he says Tosa says a different term, like we said in Psalm, but he writes that kol am, he said levara inyan, he didn't nifagar to shivim amim, right? We know that the nation split the 70 different languages after the Dora Floga and so on, Migdal Bovel, and language is developed either the second line of 19, Lefi Teva HaMedina, something to do with the nature of that country, or Lefi Mazel V'Sar Malo, they're, so to speak, they're Malach and so on. Ach Umazu Lashona Uksava Eneno Miteva Medina. This people, the Romans, don't have their language from there, and not from any upper, sort of angel and so on. Ach Ish Echad, listen to this. Ach Ish Echad, some guy, Ushmo Latinas, Bishnas Shin Mem Hele Elef HaShlishi. I don't see that year. I mean, the Elef HaShlishi means 2,345. Bruce Olam, but that doesn't correspond. I'm not sure of the date, but we'll leave that out for now. Him Tzila Atzmo Loshon Latin. He's the one who invented Latin. Yud Tes, he has 19 letters and so on. Okay, we have 22, whatever. V'chol HaLoshon Kiritzona. He developed everything. And that's what they use in all b'chol kisvei chukem v'daseim v'nimusei malchut, all their religious works and so on are in that language, but it was invented by this other guy. Okay? So there are problems with this approach, but it's a very, very interesting comment from Chassam Sofer, but it doesn't explain who this was that gave him that language. And so we have to wonder, what was Rashi driving at? What does Rashi mean? It's just not true. They have a language, they have Latin, and what do you mean it was given, it was invented by somebody else, and it was written, by other people and so on. So to explore this, keep this question in the back of your head, and we'll turn now to a work called Megillas Tainus, the Scroll of Fast. That's what I said before. Dr. Lyman's article is entitled The Scroll of Fast. Megillas Tainus is very possibly, as we'll see in a moment, the first piece of Tarsh Bal Peh to be written down. Okay? There is a Gemara in Tainus, Daf Tes Vav Aleph on the bottom of the page, going to Tes Vav Beis, actually a Mishnah. Mishnah starts on the bottom of Tes Vav Aleph, but the part where it's just sitting is on Tes Vav Beis, 20. Kol HaKosov Megillas Tainus Delo Limispeid. In the Megillas Tainus, there are dates written that you're not supposed to have any eulogies, okay? And the question the Mishnah deals with, does it mean also the day before, the day after? That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Okay, but as far as we're concerned now, what is Megillas Tainus? So Rav Adya Bar Tanur on that Mishnah in Tainus, it's Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches 21, writes, Kol HaKosov Megillas Tainus, Yomim Shenasu Bohem Nisim Li Yisrael B'vay Yisheni. These were days when some miracle or another happened to the Jewish people during the Second Temple period, the time of B'vay Yisheni, Second Beis Hamikdash. The Kavu Yomim Tovim, the Chachamim established them as kind of mini holidays. They weren't Yomim Tovim in the sense of Yisrael Malacha or in the sense of mitzvahs and stuff like that, but there were mini Yomim Tovim. I always like to say the contemporary example would be, we wouldn't say Tachanun, right? They're kind of like, a little bit acknowledging some kind of specialness to this day. And each one, if you look through each one, something was done. Either there was some military triumph, or there was some repairs made in the Beis Hamikdash, something to beef up and strengthen the Jewish leadership and then the Beis Hamikdash. And they were all days. Some are just not allowed to fast, but you have eulogies. Others are more stringent. You can't have even have any eulogies and so on. Okay, different things. As I say, I think it's the earliest piece of Torah Shel Peh to be written down. The Megillah's Tanis, it's available. I have copies of it here at home. Okay, the Megillah's Tanis consists of 12 chapters, one for each month of the year. And each month is starting with Nisan. And each month it tells you what day in this month was established as this kind of mini holiday. The Gemara in Shabbos in Source 22, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, says Tanar Bonan, Mi Kosav Megillah's Tanis. Who wrote it down? So Amru Chananya ben Chizkiya v'siyato, Shom Mechava ben Esatzoris. A gentleman by the name of Chananya ben Chizkiya. Okay, in the time of the Talmidim of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, they wrote it down. Shumechavim and Tzaris. They loved Tzar. Doesn't mean they loved Tzar. Rashi explains. We'll see in a second. First, Rashi says Megillas Tainus. What is it's important? Rashi in Gimel Beis 23. Megillas Tainus Shabbos in Gimel Beis. Lefishashar Kol Mishno Brayso Lo Herksuvin. This is before the Mishnayos and the Brayso were written. That's what I said before. This is one of the first pieces of Torah Shabbat that were written down. The Mishnayos and the Brayso were not yet written. We weren't allowed to write them yet. Vizu Nichtav Elizikaron. These were written. This book was written. Megillas Tainus was written to remind people on days that they're not supposed to fast. And that's why it's called Megillah. It's a scroll. Shakos Megillah said was written down in a scroll form, and it's called Megillas Tainus because the Megillah was a scroll which had in the days we're not supposed to fast. Okay, and that's why it's called the Scroll of Fast, was the title of Dr. Lyman's article. Mechaven es hatzoros, they love tzoros, so that means mishenigilim, and they love the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu saved them. Okay, and it's chaviv alem askir, l'shav shivcho shakosh baruch Hu, to praise Kosh Baruch Hu, and they made them some kind of a mini yontif. The Bahag, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, was in the time of the Gaonim, so it's several centuries later. It's a question exactly who wrote the Sefer Halachos Gedolos. We simply refer to the author as the Baal Halachos Gedolos, or Bahag for short. He writes, probably in the 9th century, Ziknei Beis Shammai v'Ziknei Beis Hillel, Heim Kosom Megillas Beis Chashmonai. The Talmud, the elders of the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel wrote the Megillas Chashmonai, we just finished Hanukkah. That's something else, a book about Hanukkah. It's not in the Tanakh, but it's another work. And also, Behem Kosu Megillas Tainus. They also wrote Megillas Tainus. Where? Balias Chananya ben Chizkiya, in the home of the person identified there in the Gemara and Shabbos, Gimel Beis, back in 22. It was with this Chizkiya ben Gor in his place when they visited him and so on. And Beis Din Shalachem Amdu Beganzua, later on it was put aside, it was buried and removed from use. And the idea is, why? Because once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right, the Bahag right to the end. This is the Bahag in Sefer HaLachos Gedolos, Simon Ayin Hei, Hilchos Sofrim. That's where it's coming from, Source 24. Achshav Shabitol Tamid, Mutra Lispolus Hanus Vafilo B'Shabbos. You can have the eulogy and whatever else on these days. That's what it says in the Bahag. Now, there is a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara has a machlokes. Do we still observe any of these days or not? Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amud Beis 25. Itmar Rav Rabbi Yechanina Amar Batla Megillas Tainus. There's no more. We don't have any of these dates. They're all batla. They're all been nullified and canceled. Yochanan Yeshua Ben Levi Amar Lo Batla Megillas Tainus. Okay, and Rashi there too, and Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amud Beis in 26 writes Batla Megillas Tainus Yomim Tovim Shekavu Chachamim. Again, like we saw in the Bar Tanur, these were days that the Chachamim established Ayday Nisim because some miracle happened that day, and Asur Mitainus, they asked fasting on that day, in some cases even asked eulogies on that day. They wrote them down in this Megillah and so on. And Rashi said at the end, Achshav Shechar Abayis, what are you going to celebrate that they fixed the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So once, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they observed this mini holiday, but now we don't. Okay, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and therefore it's mutter. And the Gemara concludes on Yud Tes and Beis, after a big back and forth in 27, Hilchus HaBotl v'Hilchus HaLoBotl. The halach is, Megillah's Tainus has been canceled. All the days have been canceled. And then it says, the halacha is, it's not been canceled. Somewhere it says, kasha hilchus hilchus, which is it? How do you say both the halacha? Lo kasha, kan b'chanak u'purim, kan b'shar yomi. Chanak and Purim are mentioned in Megillas Tainus. Those are the two that survived. So in that sense, lo batla Megillas Tainus completely, because Chanukah, which is mentioned in the Kislev chapter, it's the last chapter, or it's one of the last chapters, later chapter of Megillas Tainus, and Purim, which is the last chapter, is mentioned. So those days survived, the rest have all been batla. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look in Hilchos Tainus, or 28, or Chaim Simon Tof Kuf Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph, Hilchos a batla Megillas Tainus. All those days have been canceled; they're no longer applicable. B'chol ayamim aksuvim b'hem ba mutar lishanus b'hem. You're certainly allowed to fast even day before, day after, certainly, except for Chanukah and Purim and so on. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah also writes there in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Gimel Sukkot Aleph Megillas Tainus Shom Kosuv Kama Yomim Bashana Shenasu Bem Nisim Lavasenu. These were certain days of the year where certain miracles occurred, and therefore they made them like a mini yontif not to fast. But today, And so cotton bays, the Mishnah writes, Mutal Isanus Bem, Neshabavanusenu, Irobem, Harbem, Orosubitlum. We've had many, many other tzaras and many problems, so these days we're kind of nullified. Okay, now that's the work called Megillas Tainus. However, if you look at most editions of Megillas Tainus today, there was actually a 13th chapter. Okay, there's a 13th, there's 12, one for each month. The 13th chapter is not Adarshani. Okay, there's a 13th chapter, okay, which is sometimes called, as I identified here in 30, Mamar Achron, or Perak Achron, or Perak Yemeatzona, sometimes also called Megillas Tainus Basra, the later Megillas Tainus. Now, although it's attached, it is assumed that it is not from the same time period, not from the same authorship. Okay, there are many, many differences. Okay, this Megillas Tainus Basra, it's not really a part of the original Megillas Tainus. Okay. Again, it's this extra chapter, but and it's attached to most editions, including the edition I have here at home, but it's not part of the same work. For example, the regular Megillas Tainus, the 12 chapters, are in Aramaic. Okay, the entire text is in Aramaic. The last chapter is in Hebrew. Okay, so that's a distinction, and sometimes there seem to be some contradictions. Anyway, it's very questionable who wrote this last part. We identified already that the regular Megillas Tainus were written in the days of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, or Ziknei Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Rav, the Gemara mentions back in 22, this Hananya ben Chizkiah v'Siyato, his group, who were, as the Bahag identifies in 24, in Siman Ayin Hey, the Valachos Gedolos, were from the Ziknei Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The later Megillas Tainus comes a little bit later on. Okay. Now it's interesting because the Bahag elsewhere in Siman Yud Ches, Sefer Halachos Gedolos, Siman Yud Ches 31, Hilchos Tishba, what happened? He writes, Mamar Achron, he quotes this last chapter. So he brings it. So it's certainly around by the days of the Bahag because he quotes it. Elu Yomim Shemisanin Behem in the Torah. Now here's the key difference. All the other chapters, the 12 chapters, one for each month in Megillas Tainus, lists days when you're not supposed to fast or perhaps not supposed to have a eulogy. There were many Yomim Tovim. This last chapter is the opposite. These are days which you do fast. And it's not talking about the regular Tainus Tzibur like we have again this week, Asar B'Tavis and so on, or Shavuos B'Tammuz or Tisha B'Av or Tzom Gedalia and so on, or even Tainus Esther. That's not what it's talking about. Other days, sometimes referred to as Tainus Tzadikim, different things happen. And it mentions here, Elu Yomim, the Bahag is quoting, take a look at 31. Mamar Achron, Megillas Tainus. And I printed it in 30 also. It's the same thing. Elu Yom, in 30. Megillas Tainus says Mamar Achron. Elu Yom, Shemisanin Bohem in HaTorah. You are supposed to fast, says Min HaTorah. We'll see that in a second. You are supposed to fast. V'chol HaMisanin Bohem, Lo Yoch V'shad Erev. And don't eat until night. What are some examples? Be'achad B'Nisan, Mei Subonav Sha'aron. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when Nadav and Aviyah died. It's a little bit of a sad day, so you fast. Basorabo, Mei Sam Miriam, Hanaviyah. That's the art set of Miriam, so people fast, okay? Besim v'shishba meis Yoshua ben Nun. Right, you have different, that's what this last chapter of the so-called Megillas Tainus Basra, again, it's not really part of the original Megillas Tainus, but it has different days, right? Asar b'ir, meis Eli HaKoin, okay? Besim v'shishba meis Shmuel HaNavi, right? So these were great people, died, and so we have a Tainus on these days, okay? Certain people, let's say, with the Chaver Kadisha, they fast on Zion Ador, right? Which is also listed in that, we'll see shortly. So, you know, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. And the Bahag quotes it as well. But as I said before, we're not really sure who quoted this. The Shibala Aleket, in Source 32 in the Siman Reish Ayin Ches, says, Shalu LeGaonim, the Gaonim were asked, okay, these fast days listed in this last parak, what if they last on Rosh Chodesh? Or on some other day, you're not supposed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. So these, for example, Nadav and Aviyah, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So you're supposed to fast really on Rosh Chodesh, and then we go that far? Okay. So anyway, the Shibala Aleket, quoting the Gaonim, writes, on top of the next page, it says, they answered, I'm not sure who made these fast days. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure. And therefore, don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. We don't know. And the Shabbat Aleket is one of the Rishonim. But he's quoting from earlier stories. He's quoting from the Gaonim. It's in the Yotzar Gaonim and Tainus. Okay. Quoting this, that the Gaonim weren't exactly sure who wrote this, what we call Megillas Tainus Basra, this extra chapter of fast days. We're not really sure who wrote it, if it's completely authoritative. Therefore, it's okay to fast, okay, but not if it lands on Rosh Chodesh and so on. The Beis Yosef brings this in his commentary on the Torah, Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov Kuf Pei, 33, okay, and then Osalef, Sif Aleph, right, 33. Koso Balach Zudolos, he quotes the Bahag and so on these days. And he says, he didn't really mean Min HaTorah. Look back in the language of the Megillas Tainus in 30, or the Bahag's quote, it says, Eli Yom Shemisana Behem Min HaTorah. So he also says, don't get upset about that language. It just says, Afal Gav Mitakonos Chachomim, Heim Korolo Min HaTorah, Zom HaSheish Lizor Behem Kemo B'Shal Torah. Has the clout of something, or the status of something from the Torah. Fine. But now the Beis Yosef writes, if it's found in the Kolbo, we'll see shortly, but it writes, Avalo Ro'isi Me'olam V'lo Shamati Mishenohag Lisanos Behem. I, and the David Beis, I don't know anybody who does it. Okay, that's what he says, right? I don't know anyone who follows and Taka fast on these days. Okay, Uve Emes Yeshli Small. We should wonder about some of them who wrote it. Okay, because how do you have a Rosh Chodesh and so on, overrides a din and a fast on Rosh Chodesh? So that's what the Beis Yosef says. However, despite that objection, okay, Rabbi Yosef Karo, same author, does bring this, as I said before, in the Shulchan Aruch. Archaim Simon Tov Kuf Pei Sif Aleph 34. Elo Hayomim, these are days, She'ira Bahem Tzaris Lavosenu, certain bad things happen to our ancestors, V'royal Ishanes Bahem, and it's proper to fast, V'afal Pishim Yitzosim Rosh Chodesh, and even if someone in Rosh Chodesh, Yesh Misha Omer, she is honorable. But he says, Tov Shalala Hashim Rosh Chodesh, but so Rosh Chodesh, don't fast the whole day, you know, break the fast late in the day, fine. But he does bring this down, that these dates do have some authoritative status, okay, even though, again, in the Beis Yosef, I don't know who does it, but in the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes it, okay. Now, the Mogan Avram, there in Siman Tov Kuf Pei, in the beginning of the Siman, writes in 35, because of a Tanya, Shalom Agon, he quotes also, like I've quoted in the Shibel Aleket, he's also quoting the Tanya, this is not the Tanya, the Bala Tanya, the first Lubavitcher, every Mogan wrote before, but the Sefer Tanya Rabosi, and he says, who says, we don't know who wrote them, Beishiva lo yodano mitikno, we don't know who wrote them, and therefore you certainly should, he quotes the Shibel Aleket that I just saw before, about Anira Isi, but I do want to point out, it's written in Megillus Tainus. Im Cain, now here's where he got confused, it appeared, the Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham says, I saw this in these days listed in Megillus Tainus. Im Cain, niskin abi mechach me ha-Talmud. It's going back to the days of the Gemara and the Tanoim and the Amoraim. So that already is questionable because he was assuming the Magen Avraham was that even the last Perek, we call Perek Achron or Natan Megillus Tainus Basra, was part of the original Megillus Tainus, which was, as we saw before, and the Gemara was written very, very early in the days of the Talmud of Beisham Vesila. The Magen Avraham seemed to assume so was this, and that's not necessarily agreed upon. But he does said nonetheless, the Bahag brought it, Shekol Dvar of Direi Kabbalah. Kabbalah here doesn't mean Kabbalistic, it means a part of tradition, right? It's our tradition. So, therefore, Baal Nefesh Yachmila Atzmo Imef Shalom. Someone who can should try and fast on these days. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. The Mishnah Berurah also writes there in Siman Tov Kuf Pei, Sivkot and Aleph, Royalist Anos, Ayin Beis Yosef. He says, some people we wonder who wrote it, and we don't from the Chachm, he quotes the Magen Avraham, Yesha Kosu, even though it's assumed that's not correct today. Magen Avraham, Yesha Kosu, Doaz, and Iskam, Yachachm, and Talmud, Lachain Baal Nefesh Yachmila Atzmo. But he said, unless don't do it if you have other reasons not to do it. Okay, with all that in mind, okay, all that background information, but it's important background information. One of the dates listed in this Megillus Tainus Basra, this Perek Achron, the Perek Yemei Atzmos, as we'll see in source 17, is the month of Teves. We come to the month of Teves, we find the following in 37. Bishmona b'Teves, okay, on the 8th of Teves, Nichtava HaTorah Yevonis Meitama HaMelech. The Torah was translated into Greek, called it the Septuagint. The Torah was translated into Greek in the days of Talmai HaMelech. Talmai HaMelech was the king in Egypt. I think it's Ptolemy II. They were all called Ptolemy. You know, the Greek Empire, after the death of Alexander the Great, split originally into three parts, subsequently two parts, one which was based in Damascus, of which the kings were called the Seleucid Empire, and that's who Antiochus from Hanukkah fame comes. And the other part was based in Alexandria. The kings were called Ptolemy. Anyway, the days of Ptolemy and Melech, it says that the Torah was translated into Greek, and Choshech Balalam Shoshim, terrible thing, you know, darkness, reigned for 3 days. Okay. Now look at the next phrase. We'll come back to that in a second. Okay. B'tisha bo lo kosu raboseinu al mahu. Fascinating comment. The 9th of Teves, apparently also a fast day, but the rabbis didn't tell us why. Isn't that a strange comment? The 8th of Teves, the Torah was translated into Greek. The Chachamim didn't like that because it legitimized the Greek language and Greek culture. Fine. 9th, it's a fast, we don't know why. And of course, Basarabo, okay, Samach Melech Boaz, Yadol Yisham Melech, right? That was Asarab Tevez. I just printed the Psukim since we're coming to Asarab Tevez. Right, Melechim Beis, Perkhof, Hey, Pasuk Aleph, Vahi B'Shnas Atshis, Lamocho, in the 9th reign of the last king, Bachodesh Shosir, Basarach, the 10th month, which is Tevez, starting in Nisan, on the 10th of the month, Asarab Tevez, Bo Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bovel, he came and he set up a siege on Yerushalayim, so on. Same thing in Yirmiyahu, Perkhof Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Yirmiyahu was alive, and there was an eyewitness to the destruction of Yerushalayim. Perek Nun Beis Pasuk Dalet Vahiba Shon Shis Lamocho Bachorish Asir Basal Achorish. Same thing. Bo Nebuchadrezzar. He's called Nebuchadrezzar there, not Nebuchadnezzar. Fine. Whatever he was, the emperor of Babel came and laid siege of Yerushalayim, as we know. And in Yechezkel, Perek Chav Dalet. So it's for Yechezkel wasn't there. Yechezkel was already in Babel, but Yechezkel got word. He was told on Asar B'Teves, he wasn't in Yerushalayim. He was already exiled. He was in the earlier exile. Yechezkel was living in Babel, but he was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Write this down. This is the day that Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim, that's when I was on this day, the siege took place. Okay, so we know about Asar B'Tevis. What about the 8th of Tevis, going back to the beginning? So that's the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Testament Aleph, Source 41, the Tanya. Maisa B'Talma HaMelech Shekines, Shivim Mushnaim Zekanim. Talma HaMelech got 72 elders together, and he told them that they have to translate the Torah and so on. Kisruli Torahs Moshe Rabchem. I want you to translate the Torah into Greek. And they were all put in different rooms and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did some kind of an ace, and they all came out with the exact same translation, even though they weren't in the same room. So that was considered some sort of an ace. Rashi writes there, Megillah Testament, Talmud Melech Mitzrayim Ha'is. This is an ace that they all came out with the exact same translation because they altered certain things not to be offensive. Okay, as a side point, I once heard the name of Rav Hutner, Zichron Baruch Hu, Rashi Chaim Berlin, said everybody says such a great nace. He had these 72 rabbis in 72 different rooms, all came out the same translation. He said it would have been a bigger nace if they were all in the same room and they'd come out the same translation. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, that's the story with the eighth day. But what about the ninth day? There's a fast day on the ninth day. The Megillus Tainus writes, low, a very, very strange comment. It says, Besishabo, low kosu rabbo senoma. They didn't say what it was. And that's how it appears in the Bahag as well, over there in Simon Yurches, Sefer HaZgol, Simon Yurches, okay, 43. Same thing, B'shmona B'tevis, Nikta V'tor Yivonis, we got that too. And B'sishabo, Lo Kosra B'sen Amo. Very, very strange, they didn't say what it was. And that appears in other early works as well, in the Seder of Amram Gon, 44, Seder Tainis. B'shmona B'tevis, 8th of Tevis, the Torah was translated. B'sishabo, Lo Kosra B'sen Amo. The rabbis didn't tell us what happened on that day, that's a fast day. And of course, Sar B'tevis, we know. And in the Siddur Rashi, Simon Tov Kuf Mem Aleph, 45. Same thing. The 8th day we know it was translated. The 10th day we know what happened. B'sishabo lo kosra b'seinu al mahu. Very, very strange. What happened on that day? We don't know. Apparently, as I said in the title of the year, it was stricken from the record. It's a fast day, but it was stricken from the record. They didn't say what it was that generated a fast day. Now, if you look in the Orchos Chaim, I want to be shown him, Kelek Aleph, Tam Lechamisha Osor Ba'av, and Os Chav Dalet, Siv Chav Dalet. He writes, these are days when people fast and so on, and he lists through the months. In Teves, he writes, okay, but second part here, look at this. Bitesbo, he also writes, Lo Kosov Hosein Almav and Nistar Asod. The rabbis didn't tell us why they made it, and it was a secret. But then he says, Ubo Bayom Meis Ezra HaKoin V'Nechemia Ben Chachalia. That's the yahrzeit of Ezra and of Nechemia. That's what it says in the Orchos Chaim. Okay, the Kolbo as well, and Simon Samach Gimel, the Beis Yosef referred to it in Source 47. Also, Teves, B'sishabo lo kosos en almao, v'nimtza hasod, bo, but the secret's been revealed, bo bayom meis Ezra kom nechemim bechen chalim. Ezra nechemim da'at. So it's interesting, because in Orchos Chaim, it presents it as two different things. They didn't write what it was for, and Ezra and Nehemiah died. So it could be that that wasn't the only reason. There was something else they didn't tell us. So you look in the Orchos Chaim, it says two things. Two things happened. Something they didn't tell us, and also Ezra Nechemiah. The Kolbo presents it, could be the same author as the Orchos Chaim. It's not clear about the Kolbo, but it's a summary of the Orchos Chaim for the most part. But anyway, he seems to say it's one thing. They didn't tell us what it was, the Nimtza Asod, but then with the secret's been revealed, Bo Bayom Meis Ezra Cohen. Well, if you look on the Shulchan Aruch, though, Simon Tov Kuf Pei of Aruch Haim, like I said, this fast day, the 9th of Tevis, appears in the Shulchan Aruch, 48, Simon Tov Kuf Pei of Aruch Haim, Siv Beis, Bechad Ben Nisan, Meis Ben Aaron, first Ben Nisan, all them, and the 10th of Miriam, all the things we mentioned before. And when it comes to Tevis, he writes, B'shmanu Be Tevis, Nichtel, Atar Yivonis, Be Tama Melech, and so on, U'betes Bo Lo Noda Ezehi Atzor Shirabo. The Chabad doesn't say a word about Ezra Nechem, he said on the 9th, it's a fast day, but we don't know what Zorah happened on this day. Very strange. The Moran of Ram, their notes, in Tov Kuf Pesiv Katan Vav, 49, Ubeslichas Shalon and Ar Slichas, it says that Ezra Sofer died then. Okay? The Taz as well, in Siv Katan Aleph, I don't understand the Mechabah, what he didn't know. What do you mean? He writes it if he didn't know. He says, Taima Gadola, the Taz writes. Ha Isa Beslichas Shalon B'Tevis, on the Slichas of Asar B'Tevis, we'll say Friday, it says, the B'Tesbo Meis Ezra Sofer, B'Tzorach Yin Arav, I don't understand why did the Mechabah write that? He didn't know? Okay, even if the Kolbo's right, they figured out later, that's before the Mechaber. Mechaber didn't know, it's very, very strange. But many others point this out as well. The Baragola there in Simon Tov Kuf Pei in Ozdalad quotes the Kolbo, Isa Shemes Ezra Sofer, the Al Yerabba in Simon Tov Kuf Pei, Sivkot and Hey, writes, the Kolbo Bahag, Isa he writes the Bahag, has an Arkis, it doesn't have it in the Bahag, but Isa Shemimsa Shabo Bayom, Mace, Ezra Kohn, and Nechemi as well, not just Ezra, but Nechemi as well. The Bar Hetev, there in Sukkot and Vav in 53, Lo Noda B'Slichus Shlomo Isa Shameis Ezra Sofer, also mentions about Ezra, the Prima Godim, and all the regular Achronim poskim on the page of the Shulchan. The Prima Godim is in the Mishra Lusav, Sukkot and Aleph. He says the Taz, the Magan Avraham, the Bar Gold, the Yerah, everybody says, and they quote from Bahag too, again, it's not in our Gius. If you look back in Halachas Gedolos, back in 43 in Simon Yerches, it doesn't mention about Ezra Nechemi. They may have a different Gius. But again, Shabbatez, Mace, Ezra, Tes, Bateves, Mace, Ezra, Kona, Chemer, Kona, Kona, Yun, Sham. Okay. And, the Mishabura also writes, in our Slichas, it's got in Yud Gimel 55, in our Slichas, it says that Mace, Ezra, Sofer. So here I quote it from the Slichas. Here it is. And we'll say this Friday morning. Okay, Slichas Lasar B'Tevis. Ezker Matzok Asher Karani, B'Shlosha Makos B'Chodesh Hazehikani. Right, we should remember the suffering of this month. Three different bad things happen. Okay, what are they? Okay, V'Yachani B'Shmona Bo Smolos Yomanes Halos Shloshton Kavantainis U'Melech Yovan Insani Lichtov Das Yovan. And the Greek king forced us to translate the Torah into Greek. Okay, and then, at the end, Zo'amti b'sisho bo b'chlima v'chefer, choshach me'alai mi'il hod v'tsefer, torof torof bo hanosim v'shefer, hu Ezra Sofer. So it's correct. In the Slichas, it mentions that Ezra Sofer died. It doesn't mention Nechemi, actually, but it mentions Ezra died. But the question is, okay, if that's the reason, so what was the secret? Why did the Megillus Tainus, it mentions all the Nadavanigu died on this day, and Miriam died on that day, and then Yeshua died on the other day, and Shmuel Kanavi died this day. Why did this mention, okay, the ninth, Ezra died, or Ezra Nechemia died? It doesn't say that, okay? And the Bahag, according to some versions, had that, but the Megillus Tainus web doesn't say it. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, nobody knows. Everybody knows. Ezra died that day. So that's what the Taz wonder, what's the Mechaber going on? Why is the Mechaber, you know, seem to preserve the secret? Again, if you want to look again, we look back in the language of the Mechaber in Simtof Kuf Pei. He just writes, Ubites Bo, on the ninth of the month, Lo Noda Bo, we don't know what happened. What's the secret? Ezra died that day. It's in the Slichas. We know it. So apparently, the Mechaber and perhaps others held that was not the only reason. Something else must have happened on that day. What else is it? Well, the Aruch HaShulchan, there in Simtof Kuf Pei Siv Gimel, he has suggests an answer, but it's very difficult. In 57, he says, Bites Bo, right? Lo Hoya Noda Tsar Shira Bo. Originally, I didn't know. Then, Nisgala Charkav. Then it was discovered later that Ezra died. A little hard, you know, I mean, again, the Mechaber lived, you know, a little bit earlier. It was only a little bit later. Only some people knew about it. A little bit. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, originally they didn't know. That's why it says in the Megillus Tainus, we don't know what happened. Later on, somebody discovered that Ezra died. Why didn't the Mechaber have it? It's very, very difficult. As a side point, the Kaf HaChaim writes, there in Simtof Kuf Pei, Siv Katan Chof, he writes, Ezra actually died on the 10th of Teves. He finds a source, Shemes Asor B'Teves. And we fasted on the 9th of Teves, because we're already fasting on the 10th of Teves anyway, because Asor B'Teves. Okay, so therefore, but even so, okay, even if it had to do with the death of Ezra Nechemia, but you look, it sounds like, at least from the Orchaz Chaim, and certainly the Mechaber seems to understand, that something else must have happened. Now, it's interesting, the Rebbeinu and Eberschitz makes a suggestion, 59, Yaros Devash, Chelek Beis, Drush Yud Beis. He said the Chazal initially did hide the fact that Ezra died on that day. Now, it's not like the Aruch HaShulchan, but it's similar. He said there was some secrecy to it, okay? And they kind of hid the date because Ezra was a great person, okay? And he writes again, and this is in Chelek Beis, Drush Yud Beis, 59, look at the end of the first line. It's true, the Bryce and the Megillus Tainus that we saw does not mention, just says in the Megillus Tainus, the ninth of the month, that's, we don't know what happened. That's the language of Megillus Tainus, and it doesn't give you anything about Ezra, okay? If you want to look back, it's in Source 37. They didn't want to tell the date. They knew it was Ezra's death. They didn't want to tell the date. And he compares it. He says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Chaf Alman Beis, I print in 60, Tanar of Yosef, Omer, Ro, Haya Ezra, Shetinosan Torah, De Yisrael, Al Yadol Yisrael. Ezra was so great, the Torah should have been given through him. Except, Moshe came first. That's how great Ezra was. Now, what do we know about Moshe? Well, the Torah tells us in Parshas HaBracha, Barim Perak Lamed Dalad Posig Yud, Source 61. We're getting some. Everyone can mute. It'll be helpful. Okay, he says in Barim Parshas Sabrocha about Moshe Rabbeinu Vayikbor Asa Bagai and so on. Velo Yoda Ish Es Kurasa Arim Azeh. Nobody knows okay, where Moshe is buried. So the Yonis and Abish should suggest that just like nobody knows where Moshe is buried, nobody knows the arts out of Ezra, something like that. And that's what he suggests. They hid the date, you know, and then later on they had to reveal it, so we should do tshuva, whatever else. That's the Yonis and Abish. It's a problematical answer, okay, because the Moshe's date of death is mentioned in Megillas Tainus. Moshe himself. You look in the source of 61, there in that same parak, you know, the 13th of Megillas Tainus Basra, B'shiva ba'ador meis Moshe Rabbeinu. Can everyone just double check that they're muted? Because I'm getting some of the feedback here. Okay, anyway, be that as it may, it seems very difficult to say, at least to me anyway, it seems very difficult to say that it's because they want to hide it because of Moshe Rabbeinu's own yahrzeit is mentioned in the Megillas Tainus, right? So therefore, it seems a little difficult, but that was a suggestion of Yonatan Abishitz. The Ramah has a commentary on Megillas Tainus, okay, has a commentary on Megillas, I'm sorry, on Megillas Esther, not Megillas Tainus. Ramah has a commentary on Megillas Esther called Mechir Yayin. Very fascinating. It's not a, you know, a pshat for the most part. But anyway, there's a pasuk in Megillas Esther, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, Vatilakach Esther El HaMelech HaChashverosh El Beis Malchuso, when Esther was taken to HaChashverosh, Bachodesh HaAsiri Hu Chodesh Teves. The month that doesn't say the date. But Esther was taken on the month of Teves. That's a pasuk, the first pasuk in Megillas Esther. Esther was taken to the month of Teves to Achashverosh, and of course, but yeah, he loved her and he made her the queen and so on and so forth. So the Ramah, his commentary is called Mechir Yayin, Esther Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin through Yotes 64. He writes, suggestion that this is what happened. It was on the ninth of Teves. Okay, it doesn't say what it was. So maybe Lechach Komar. And we have a funny word in the parentheses, shin mem ches tof, shemochas, okay, or michas. Some suggest it means shekichas. She went to tilakach Esther. She was taken to, on that day, okay, in the month of Teves or the ninth of Teves. Or others say, should say shemisas. She died. The Makor, Esther's yahrzeit. Okay, the Makor Chaim, which is a commentary on Or Chaim from the author of the Chavis Yor, Chuvas Chavis Yor, the Arab Bacher, and the early Shonatzim Tov Kuf Pei, Vites, Vitevis Lonodo, Vesefer Mechir Yayin, Meharamoah, Shemesa Esther on this day. That's what happened the ninth of Teves. But again, why the secrecy? Okay, why not say that? Why, if that's what happened, okay. So why, you know, why the secrecy? It's a little strange. Okay, so the Birka Yosef, the Chidor, sends us in a different direction. The Chidor there in Simtov Kuf Pei Aleph, Sivkot Aleph, 66. Okay, again, commenting on this idea that we don't know in the Kasha Taz, Tema Gedola. Okay, it's so strange. Why would the Mechaber tell us? And he mentioned the Bahag has that version that Nechemiah, Ezra Nechemiah Dad, we don't have in our Bahag. But anyway, he points out it's not a Tema because the Mechaber knew about the death of Ezra Nechemiah. But he looked carefully, like I said before, the Chidor points this out. If you look carefully, it mentions, look in the second paragraph, Ein kantem shar kosu bahag v'kobo tes bo lo kosu t'amahu u'bo bayom. Two different things. One, we don't know, and something else, also Ezra Nechemiah's death. There's two different things. And he says, we do know about Ezra Nechemiah. That's true, but that's not the only reason to fast on this day. And the other thing is Yesh Sod Badover. What's the Sod? So he says towards the end that later on, Nistar Sod, somehow it became, you know, became known. Okay, and he says, "Ubesefer haKabbalah leHarayvid, Sefer haKabbalah of the Rayvid." That is not the Rayvid on the Rambam. Okay, actually, three different Rayvids. The Rayvid on the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham ben David, who we know from the Hasagas on the Rambam, his father-in-law was named Rabbi Avraham. The author of the Sefer Eshkol was known as Rabbi Avraham of Bezdin. So that also got sort of combined into Rayvid. But there was a third Rayvid, Rabbi Avraham ibn Daud ben David, who was a historian. He wrote a work, Sefer Kabbalah, again, nothing to do with Kabbalistic mysticism, but a history book, okay? And he says, V'kisra Kabbalah Rayvid, kosa shekivnu beruach HaKodesh, laharigas Rabbeinu Yosef HaLevi, shenerag bo bayom. Okay? The Chidor writes, he quotes in the Sefer Kabbalah, you know what happened on the 9th of Teves? Rabbeinu Yosef HaLevi died on this day. Who was Rabbi Yosef HaLevi? It says what, you know, who else he got it from and so on. Now, the author of the Avraham ibn Daud ben David died in 1180. So it's the time of the Rishonim. Okay. Rabbi Yosef HaNogid lived about a century earlier. He died in 1066. Okay. And the commentaries on the Chidor write, Okay, who was he? Then Simchat Tovkuf by Aleph, Oz Aleph 67. Beno Sher Rab Shmuel HaLevi HaNogid. He was the son of Rab Shmuel HaNogid, who was a prominent rabbinic leader in Spain. Shenerag Bisfarad Biyom Shabbos Tes B'Teves Shnas Dalet Alofim Tov Tov Chof Dalet. Comes out to 1065 or 1066. So I printed from the Sefer Kabbalah there. 68, that's the Rabbam Ibn Dawud, died in 1180. He said, and Rabbi Yosef HaLevi HaNogid took over, and so on and so forth, and a terrible thing happened. Shenerag, in the second line, Biyom Shabbos Petisha B'Teves Shnas, whatever year was, Hu V'Kahal Granada. Granada, the community of Granada, Jewish community of Granada, were massacred on that day, including Rabbi Yosef HaLevi. And he said that was what they had in mind when it said the ninth of Teves. Somehow they knew, Baruch HaKodesh, that this Rabbi Yosef HaLevi and the community of Granada was going to be massacred on that day. So the author of the Megillus Tainus Basu, again, written before the days of Rabbi Yosef HaLevi, they wrote down, that's what they meant. We don't know what happened on the ninth of Teves because they didn't want to write it down. Okay, because, you know, obviously it would cause a certain amount of concern for the people of Granada and Rabbi Yosef HaLevi. If you had written down the ninth of Teves, they're going to be massacred, you know, every ninth of Teves, they'd get a little nervous. But the point is, that's what he says it's referring to. And that's in the Siddur Beis Yaakov, Sittin of Yaakov Emden, Shar Yechonya, Lechodesh Teves, writes in Os Yud, he writes, Tainus Misa Tzadikim, it's a fast for the Tzadikim, Ezra HaKoin, Echachalya, and Harigas Kal Kila Kadosha Granada, Im Rabbi Yosef HaNogid. So he accepts that reason. The Tosus Chadoshim on the Megillus Tainus, one of the, you know, by written by, you know, we'll see later, it was written by, we'll see the author shortly. And in the Tosus Chadoshim, he writes that, quotes the Sefer Kabbalah, okay, that was the day on which the Yosef HaNogid. Obviously, it's a little bit difficult to say that they were Mechaven Ruach HaKodesh and they want to write it. And afterwards, why wouldn't the Mechaber write it? And furthermore, sadly, there were other Jewish communities that were massacred as well, and other great Talmid Chachamim besides the Yosef HaNogid. I'm not taking away from him, but there are other great people. We don't have fair. So it's a very, very difficult suggestion by the Rabbi Avraham Ibn Daud in the Sefer Kabbalah to say, I mean, he doesn't say it, but that's you know, he says Ruach HaKodesh. It's very, very schwer, it seems to me. You know, Dr. Lyman wrote that article to say, with due respect to Yosef HaNogid, many other great Rabbanim and Talmid Chachamim and communities were massacred as well. We don't have fast days. So it's hard to say, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh kivnu lezeh. But look what the Tosfos Chadashim writes at the end. Okay, very, very fascinating. He said, after he quotes those reasons about Ezra and the Sefer Kabbalah, he writes, V'shamati b'shem gadol echad, da'oz nolad oso ha'ish. On the ninth of Teves, Oso Ha'ish, Jesus, was born. And that comes from a work written, again, from around the same time. Somebody else, not the Rabbam Ibn Daud, but Rabbi Avram Barchia Hanossi. A work called Sefer Iber. He was a philosopher and an astronomer. He died in 1136. Look at 71. Mamer Gimel Shar Yud. He figures out the whole thing, okay? And he says, talking about their God, Jesus, who noted the Ram, is what year it was, and it's correct. It comes out to 3761, if you add back the year zero, so to speak, you know, when the calendar changes. And Be'esim v'chodesh yomim v'chodesh daikaber, the 25th of December, okay, we just had it, we know, okay. V'hu yom Shabbos yom Tisha b'Teves. That year, December 25th, the year he was born, Oso Ish was born, that was the ninth of Teves. So therefore, the ninth of Teves is the Hebrew birthday of you-know-who, okay? And we can figure it out. It could happen, you know, that Christmas should land on the ninth of Teves. And that, he said, and he gives the whole thing. And now we can say that may be why the Chachamim established a fast day on the ninth of Teves. But they didn't want to write the reason, because that wouldn't do well with the censors. That we're establishing a fast day on you know, on their holiday, or that they mark the birth of Jesus and so on, of Oso Ish. So he says, that's what, now he figures out, and he has a lot of problems with that, because, and historically, the author, so I mean, Avraham Rav Chiya Hanossi in 71, because actually, and it's not our issue now, but December 25th is never mentioned in the early Christian writings as the birth, as his birthday. Okay, it's later on. Okay, it's not written, the evangelical works and so on. And his Talmidim didn't write it. The early Christians didn't have December 25th as his birthday. And he goes into the whole piece. You can read it later. He says that really December 25th had to do with the winter solstice, which was a pagan holiday. So they wanted to make it their holiday, which, you know, others have theorized as well. And he certainly doesn't say anything about fasting on that day, the author of the Sefer Ibur. So others put it together. okay, that he was born on that day. So that's why. So the Tosus Chadashim, again, there in Megillas Tainus, okay, writes, Nimtza Shayom, look at 72, Nimtza Shayom, 25th December, Yom Hu Ledes Oso Ish, Shahay B'Shabbos Kodesh B'Sish Shayom L'Arech Tevez. Umizeh, now you can understand. Again, the Sefer Ibur, Rav Avraham Baruch Yonasi, doesn't make this jump, but he does. Okay, he says, that's why, he quotes a certain Rabbeinu Raphael Gordon, whoever exactly he was, he says, he's right, and that's why we fast on that day. Okay, so it's very interesting. Now we've solved the problem very possibly, but there are a lot of problems because, again, first of all, there are astronomical or calendaric concerns. Can you really work it out that it was the 9th of Teves? And was he actually born on that day? And we've know, of course, that the Orthodox churches to this day mark Christmas on January 6th. There are a lot of problems with that too. You look in the Iyun Tefillah and Siddur Otzah Tefillah, printed in 1915 on the Slichas and Asar B'Teves and Siddur Otzah Tefillah. So he gives you reviews all the answers about the Ezra Nechemiah and so on. And he says, maybe we make a fuss about Ezra Nechemiah. He says, because it wasn't just because they died that day, but that was the end of Nevuah. That was the end of the era of prophecy. Malachi was the last Navi, and there's a Gemara's opinion Malachi was Ezra and so on. Okay, but he says all these things have problems, and I think it's Bar Etzli Shemesibas Atainis Uinyan Acher, it's something else, and he quotes the last lines of that, Surah 73, Hagon Moreni Yehuda Labor of Nachan Zal Dayan Bekratashin. That's the author of the Tosus Chadosh, printed in 1810. He makes that jump. But again, that too is very difficult. So here is what Professor Lyman, Rabbi Dr. Shane Lyman, suggested. There is a statement in the Hagos of Rebaruch Frankel. And that's Siman and Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Haim Siman Tov Kuf Pei that we've been looking at. It's printed in the back of the regular Shulchan Aruch. Okay, it says as follows. On this Siman Tov Kuf Pei, Siv Bei 74, he writes, Lo Noda Ezetzar, Matzosi B'Ksav Yad, Shebetes Teves, Niftar Shimon HaKalfus. You know why we fast on that day? Because a certain Jew by the name of Shimon HaKalfus died. What did he do? We never heard of him. He says, Shoshia Es Yisrael Mitzor Gedola. He saved the Jews from great disaster. Bismana Pritzim, in the time of the, referring to early Christians, and Nikba Yom Misosol Atinus Olam Yerushalayim. His date of death was established at Atinus. Who was he? Now, the Baruch Frankel told him, Baruch Frankel is not the only one who says this. There's a sefer called Maori Orib, Aaron Worms, okay? He's a Rav of Metz, he died in 1836. A sefer called Maori Orib, Chelegimel, called Od Lamoid, Atinus page Kuf Yud, not Daf Kuf Yom Reis and Tainus. There is no Daf Kuf Yom Reis and Tainus. In his Sefer, page 110 of a base, he also mentions, over Sefer Zichronos Ra'isi Al Ptiras Shimon HaKalfoni. Baruch Frankel Tomim had Shimon HaKalfus. Yes, Shimon HaKalfoni. Who in the world was he? And what did he do? Okay, what did he do? That, and that's what says in the Megillas Tainus. We don't know who it was, but that's what happened. He died on this day. He says, say it had to do with Yosef Anagi, doesn't like it. So there is a genre of literature, which again, Dr. Lyman goes into great lengths, called Todos Yeshu, Jewish literature about the history of the early Christians and about Jesus and so on. And there are different quote-unquote midrashim. There's a lot of literature about it, okay? And this person, Shimon, was kind of a of Paul and Simon Peter and someone else, Simon Stylides and so on. And so in the Otzer Midrashim of J.D. Eisenstein, so he has three different entries. I'm not going to read all this now because time doesn't really look in 76. It was known as Shimon Kippa. Okay, this is page 557 to 559. He has three different versions from different midrashim. Now, what he presents doesn't always jive with all the manuscripts, but okay. Well, for our purpose now, it suffices. He says, if I'll just read a little bit. Let's understand the early days of the early Christians. Okay, yeah, it's printed in the Otzer Midrashim. Yeah, it's there, page 559, 557, at least in my edition. Anyway, so he says that there were quarrels and fights between the early Christians and the Jews. The early Christians, remember, claimed to be Jews. They dressed like Jews, except that they believed in Jesus, right? It was indistinguishable at one time. And there was a lot of fights and so on and so forth. And then, okay, they had 12 people, disciples of Jesus, I guess they called them the apostles and so on. And they caused a lot of trouble with the Jews, you can read through. And it was decided that we have to do something to make it clear that this is a different religion. These are not our religion. So this person called Shimon HaKalfus or Shimon Kippa and so on, basically, it says he volunteered. Okay, and he went to Ir Metropolis, the main Christian city, to Rome. And he was very, very bright and he attracted a following. He said, listen, I am a disciple of Jesus myself. And they asked for proof, and he did various miracles. And we too, he cured somebody of Taras, and he brought somebody back to life, a lot of things which they claim that Jesus did too. He did the same thing, and they listened to him. He said, you've got to listen to me. Here's what, you've got to leave Jews alone. You've got to separate yourselves completely from them. separate yourself completely. He also speaks about turning the other cheek. But at the end, he says, don't observe Pesach. That's toward the end of that page. Don't observe Pesach. Okay? Lo tachogas chagamatzas. Tachogas yom misoso. Observe around that time of year, the day of Jesus' death. We call that Easter. He suggested it. He said it. And don't observe Shavuos. Instead, count certain amount of days. We call that Lent. Okay, he suggested it. And don't observe Sukkot, observe the date of his birth, Christmas, and the date of his birth, New Year. All of this was written, was put into practice, so to speak, by this Shimon, keeper Shimon HaKalfoni. Okay, and however, he remained, probably lived in some kind of a migdal, in a tower over there in Rome, where privately he kept all of Torah and mitzvahs. And in fact, he wrote Piyutim. So the next page, I have other versions in the, you know, some say he was he didn't volunteer for this job. He was taken by the Christians. They were threatened to kill lots of Jews. But anyway, he won them over. He perhaps became like the Pope or the Bishop of Rome himself and so on. And, you know, if you look at the end, it's in the middle of the next page, the end of the second version, it says, V'hazeh Shimon Kippur, Huma Shekhan HaGoyim, St. Peter. Can you imagine? That's the famous St. Peter. He was actually Jewish, and he was responsible in a good way to make sure there was a clear distinction between the Jews and the non-Jews. And it's in the third
Simon
version.
Simon the Apostle, no?
What?
Simon the Apostle is Peter.
Whether it's Simon Peter or whatever else, yeah. Okay, exactly right. He was called Shimon. Sometimes he was, at the end of the next paragraph, he says he's called Rav Shimon Kippa Poter, Peter, because he separated, so to speak, Shepotchom Legamer Mikol Torah Moshe. He removed them completely from Torah Moshe and so on. And he wrote Piyutim. Okay, so there's a work called Number.
He wrote his reputative written Nishmas.
Yes, correct. Okay, we'll see. Correct. And he wrote Nishmas. Okay, so we'll just finish up. Give another minute or two. In the Sefer, there's a Sefer, and many, you know, told us Yeshua Notzri. This is one version, okay, from the 1700s. Okay, that Vayeshev Shimon Bamigdal. This Shimon sat in the tower, and the Vayichtov Shimon Sachukim Kasher Tivah Melech. He wrote their laws for them. Vayishana to Aleph Beis. He changed the alphabet to read for who? Second line. Aleph Beis Tzad. That's A B C D E F. Okay, he gave them the Latin alphabet. He gave it to them. The old Kosom Sifrei Ksom, various other works, he called them Oven Kilayon. Oven is sin, Kilayon is wiping out, but they called it Evangelion, evangelical. Okay, all this came from this person. And he died, for who? And they observe he died by Yom Shimon, and each day he died on the ninth of Tevis. That's what about, as a side point, what Jackson meant about the Piyutim, so the Machzor Vitri, Hilchos Pesach, Simon Samach Vav, and 78 talks about Nishmas, Birkas Hashir, and he says, some people say, Yei Sha'omer Oso Novel Shimon Peter Chamor. Simon Peter, Peter Chamor, right? They call him the donkey, right? Shimon Peter Chamor, but he said, it's not true, the Machzor Vitri didn't write it. On the other hand, in Simon Shin Chof Hei, the Machzor Vitri writes that the Shimon Kippa wrote certain Yisod Seder Shema Kippurim, certain Piyutim, and so on. Many Piyutim, so very interesting questions. A side point as well, the Sefer Chassidim, Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph writes, Yehudi Shehemir, Jew who converted to another religion, Mechanan Lo Shem, they give him a nasty nickname, okay? And that's why, even if he did it for a good reason, okay? He said, even for Kagon Shimon Kippa, did it for a good reason. To separate the Jews from the Christians, it would be clear we had different religions, so Jews would stop being confused. So it was a good reason. We still call him Peter Chamor. In any event, according to this approach, that's what happened on the 9th of Tevez, this Simon Peter, who, in effect, created the whole Christian religion to separate them from the Jews, because originally they were indistinguishable, other than the fact they believed in Jesus, which is a big thing. You couldn't tell, and many Jews were misled and confused. So now they have the holiday on Sunday, and then they observe different things. All of this came from a Jew. Now to come full circle. That may well be what Rashi and Avodah Zarah says the Gemara means. Ein lahem lo ksav lo loshon. They don't have their own language. Everything came from somebody else. Who's the somebody else? This Shimon Kippa. And if you look in 81, the Dituke So from the uncensored version of that Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Yudam and Aleph and Hagos Ostes 81, quotes the Rashi. Look in the brackets. Kol Sifrei Tosam, Yochanan Polos. Okay, John Paul. Peter, Heim Yehudim Hayu, they were Jews. Okay, and Loshon means the grammatica, Hu Aloshon Shemadabrim Ba'agalochim, the language the priests use. Okay, they gave it to them, L'salka Ma'al Yisrael, to remove them from the Jews. The Losha Kofru, they weren't Kofru, they weren't Apikorsim, no, they were doing it for a good reason. And all of this, as Rashi says, Mefurosh, B'Sefer Tlias Yeshu, in the stories about the, you know, the execution of Jesus in this Toldos Yeshu, Tlius Yeshu literature. It's a fascinating idea, I think, from Dr. Lyman, that may be, again, whether this is true or not, we have no way of knowing whether these people were Jews who were responsible for this or not. Rashi appears to have believed it. And that's what Rashi said. The Gemara means when it said they don't have their own language, they got all their language, their alphabet, their writings from somebody else, from Jews. Okay? That's what Rashi certainly believed. Maybe had this text in front of him. And now we can understand why the Shulchan Aruch would not mention that on the 9th of Teves, we're fasting. They don't want to let the secret out, so to speak, that all the Christian writings and so on came from Jews for the purpose of separating Jews from the Christians. So therefore, we leave it alone in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, we don't know what happened that day. I don't know what happened. Ezra died, whatever it is. I don't want to give you the real reason. Anyway, I thought a fascinating suggestion. And since this Thursday is the 9th of Teves, it's only appropriate to speak about tonight. Again, we generally, as Beis Yosef already said, people don't generally fast, and certainly we're not going to fast 2 days. Nonetheless, it's, I think, an interesting historical piece of information to be aware. Wish everybody a good Tabach.